Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Four services and you are the fourth service. And I'm ready for you. You ready for the Lord? He's going to come and bless you, sweep you off your feet. Amen. His blessings will carry you far above your troubles. And you'll see how he's going to do that today. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor one more time. Smile, because you're going to sit with the person for the next hour. And say, I love you with the love of Jesus. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis, chapter 5. Korabashantai. There's a fresh anointing on you, Joy, since the service just now. Do you feel it? It's anointing you afresh, and your baby is getting the blessing. Hallelujah. Genesis, chapter 5 is a very interesting chapter, because it tells you Adam beget his son beget another son beget another son, and finally Noah. The whole chapter is nothing but genealogy. And people used to wonder why the Bible has one whole chapter on who brought forth who. Alright? But this is not my message today, but I'd like to use this chapter as a point of reference to show you the significance of Bible names. When the Bible mentions names, there is significance. And some of you have heard me share this portion before, but today my message on the cities of refuge, which is based on the same principle of Bible names. But let's look first at Genesis chapter 5, and let's look at the genealogy of Adam. Adam is the first man, and from Adam all the way, this Genesis 5 brings us all the way to Noah. And Noah is famous for what? Noah's Ark. Remember Noah's Ark? God told Noah a flood is coming, he's going to destroy all men. Because God waited generation after generation to find someone whose heart is towards him. And instead, the man became increasingly wicked. Alright? So finally God told Noah, you, I have found grace in my sight. I want you to build an ark, and you and your family will find refuge in the ark while the whole world is destroyed. Noah and his family finds refuge. Just like Jesus, he is our ark. And once you are in him, you are not outside where the judgment is. You're not outside where the flood is. You are safe and secure in him. Oh, I'm sure sometimes Noah would fall because of the waves. But he fell in the ark. He never fell outside. He was secure. Are you listening, people? When God first told Noah to build an ark, God told him what sort of material to build the ark. It's called gopher wood. G-O-P-H-E-R. So God told Noah, Noah, build me an ark. He says, how? Gopher wood. He says, what wood? Gopher wood. What wood? Gopher wood. It's a joke, by the way. It's the best I can do for the fourth service, okay? So let's look at the list of Genesis 5, beginning with Adam. The Bible says, Adam brought forth a boy called Seth. Remember, he had actually Cain and Abel. But Cain killed Abel. So Cain disqualified himself. So God gave Adam another son called Seth. And Seth brought forth Enosh, verse 6. And it tells you how long Seth lived. And then Seth brought forth Cainan, verse 9. And all the way down, and Cainan brought Mahalalel. And let's look at the screen over here to help us see the whole chapter clearer. This is all in Hebrew, okay? Hebrew names. And they all carry a meaning. Alright, let's look at the names first, beginning in order of this passage here, in this chapter. We are following the order of the Bible. The first name mentioned here in Genesis 5 is Adam. Adam brought forth Seth. Seth brought forth Enosh, who brought forth Canaan, who brought forth Mahalalel, who brought forth Jared. Now, Jared is a very nice name. His name means to come down, to descend. Jared brought forth Enoch. Enoch was the first guy in the Bible who got raptured. The Bible says one day he walked with God and he disappeared. It's a picture of the rapture. God took him just like that. Amen? Who says rapture is a new idea in the New Testament? Enoch experienced it in the Old Testament. Amen. So Enoch walked with God. After Enoch brought forth a son, the Bible says he didn't walk with God at first. But look at this. Verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Mutu. His son's name was Mutusala. And notice something significant happened to Enoch when Mutu was born. When Mutusala was born, the Bible says after this boy was born, Enoch walked with God. Verse 22. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, by the number of days in a year. He walked with God all the days of his life. Notice when he walked with God after the boy was born. Why? Why? Because he learned something from the meaning of the name of the boy. You know what happened from Adam all the way down? Adam all the way down, man became increasingly wicked. Man became increasingly evil. And then finally it came to Enoch. God says, enough is enough. Enoch, I want you to bring a message to this world. When you bring forth your son, call his name. When he dies, it shall come. Methuselah means when he dies, it will come. What will come? The flood, the judgment. So God says, name your boy. When he dies, it will come. Methuselah, when he dies, it will come. So how many know Enoch repented because he was the first guy that received the message? No wonder he walked with God. So all the world was watching Methuselah. Every time he coughed, they panicked. Every time he had a fever, alright, everyone was wondering, is he going to be this time? He's going to die? Because his name means when he dies, it will come. The judgment will come. The flood will come to destroy the earth. And you know what God did? Methuselah, he was the longest living man on planet Earth in all history. Isn't it like the heart of God? You know, God says, all right, God waited for generation after generation to repent. Instead of that, they became increasingly evil. Then God told Enoch, Enoch, name your boy. When he dies, it will come. Enough is enough. And then God made the boy the longest living man in history. Why? Because God's heart delights in mercy. God is not willing that any should perish. And this boy became the longest living man. You know how long he lived? Look at verse 27. So all the days of Mutu were 969. My goodness, 969 years. And he died. You know what I believe? If God can extend, God would have extended. Because God told Adam, in the day that you eat the fruit, you shall die. And to God, a day is 1,000 years. So Methuselah cannot exceed 1,000 years. And God made him the longest living man. Why? God did not want to send the judgment. God still gave man time to repent. Do you see his heart? He loves us. He loves you and I. Amen. You know, there are people saying things like, where's the rapture? You know, 50 years ago we heard Jesus Christ is coming. Where is he? The Bible says very clearly in the book of 2 Peter, there will come mockers and scoffers in the last days who will say, where's Jesus? We have heard his coming 50 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But the Bible says, these scoffers do not realize one thing. That with the Lord, time is of no essence. But the reason God is delaying is because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But rest be assured, there comes a cutoff date, and Jesus Christ shall return. Amen, people? And Mahalalel brought Jared, Jared brought Enoch, Enoch brought Methuselah. Methuselah brought forth Lamech. With a name like that, do you need Hebrew interpretation? Lamech means weak. It means despairing. That's why I ask you, you need Hebrew interpretation? Lamech. Lamech brought forth our famous Noah. Okay? So Methuselah was around when Noah was born. And just before the flood came, I made a study of his age and all that, comparing the difference and minusing and all that. I found out it was like, I forgot, one day or 1 week, I forgot. Just after Methuselah died, the flood came. Okay? But God waited a long time, didn't he? Amen? Now let's look at the meaning of the names, shall we? This is in the order of appearance as it is in your Bible, Genesis 5. Adam, in English, the Hebrew names means man. Adam means man. Adam. Got nothing to do with the word dumb. Adam actually in Hebrew means red earth, man. And then you have Seth. Seth means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel, every time you find E-L, El, El Shaddai, Elohim, is the name of God. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared, nice name, means what? Coming down. From this root word, you have the word Jordan, to descend. Jared, all right, shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. We learned that. Lamech means weak or despairing. Noah means rest. So when you put them together, can you see a message? Forget the word English. It's not part of it. We start from man. I thought I'm going to clarify in case, you know. They think, English man appointed. The Hebrew and English has nothing to do with it. So it begins with man. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. You and I, when we are born because of our sin, we are appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed God shall come down teaching. It's a picture of who? Jesus. His death on the cross. His death shall bring all the despairing rest. One more time. You know, man is appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed God, Jesus, shall come down. He came down to our level, teaching. And his death shall bring the despairing rest. Amen. All right, in case you're writing down, you can take down the notes real fast before we release it. All right, it says, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest. How many see the gospel of Jesus Christ hidden in just one chapter? It's not just beget, 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 beget. There is a meaning in the names. There is a hidden message in this chapter. And it's a love story written in Jesus' blood. Amen? How many are glad his death brought us rest? Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now, today, I want to teach you regarding cities of refuge. Say, cities of refuge. God told Moses and Joshua, when they entered the land of Canaan, they are to set aside six cities. All right, six cities of refuge. Now, cities of refuge, as the name implies, is a place of refuge for whom? For someone who kills another person unintentionally. Involuntary manslaughter, or we call it homicide. There is no premeditated murder. For example, they are working in the forest chopping wood, and then the axe head flew off and cut the guy's head in half. It is not premeditated, all right? However, blood is shed. And the law, the Old Testament, the law back then, thank God we are under grace. But the law back then required that the closest relative of the one who died must avenge his blood, must kill the one who killed him. That's how, you know, in those days, in the Old Testament, you have people walking around with one eyeball missing, teeth missing, because in those days it's eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. How many are glad we are no more under that? You're not glad? So, in those days, they have to avenge the blood, or else they don't carry the honor of the family name. They have to destroy the one who killed. But the one who killed, he's not fully guilty. He is legally guilty because blood has been shed, but he's not morally guilty. So the Bible says God has made a provision for them. They are to flee to the nearest city of refuge. Now, throughout the land of Israel, there are six cities of refuge. So God says they are to flee to the nearest one. Okay, let's read the account, shall we? Look at Joshua 20, Joshua chapter 20 in the Old Testament, and let's read the cities of refuge. The Lord said to Joshua, verse 1, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses. Now, folks, can I ask your permission first, with all due respect? Can I do more teaching this evening? Now, I can preach. Preaching is more rah, 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 but teaching is more line upon line. Okay? But you must not fall asleep. Alright, teaching gives you a foundation. I want to do a bit more teaching, alright? So six cities of refuge is a very beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each name of a city is a beautiful attribute of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we look at the names, let's look at the meaning of the cities of refuge. Once again, it says here in verse 2, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourself cities of refuge of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest in those days. How long will he stay in the city of refuge? Until the death of the high priest. Now listen, folks. The cities are so near, as you will see afterwards. Let me show you it right now. All the six cities. Look at the map. All the six cities here is mentioned in the Bible. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. They are all there, the six cities. You can go back and read it, verse 7 and verse 8. So on this side of Jordan, by the way, this is a map of Israel, not Clemente or Bedok. You better explain. Notice the Mediterranean Sea on the west side and the River Jordan in the center. There are three cities on this side and three cities on that side. And they are evenly distributed. On this west side of River Jordan, there is a northernmost, Kadesh, center one, Shechem. Then you have Hebron, southernmost. On this side of River Jordan, you have Golan. Does that ring a bell? Golan Heights. Syria wants Israel to give back Golan Heights now for the peace treaty. All right, but the Bible says Golan belongs to them, Israel. Golan, northernmost, Ramoth in the center, Bezer, southernmost. Now, the way it is distributed, folks, is such that if someone kills someone unintentionally, they can flee to a city within half a day. Can you see the mercy of God? If someone gets killed by the avenger of blood, it is not because there is no city of refuge. It is because he delayed. Jesus is our refuge. Don't delay. Flee to him while you still can. Because as long as you're not in him, it's not safe outside, where the devil can take the role of the avenger of blood. Because the devil knows his legal rights. If a man sins against God, the devil has a legal right to bring a curse, to bring sickness, to bring confusion, to bring depression, to bring poverty in their lives. The devil knows his rights. But once you are in Jesus, in the city of refuge, Jesus is our refuge. He cannot touch us. The Bible says the cities of refuge, even the boundaries, the devil, the avenger of blood cannot cross the boundary into the city. Just like Jesus' boundaries of the hem of his garment. The Bible says a woman who had incurable disease touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Even the borders of that city drives powers of darkness away. Are you listening, people? Amen. By the way, listen to this. This is so beautiful. All these six cities are priestly cities. They belong to the tribe of Levi. And if you study the tribe of Levi, you find they eat the best in the land. They are dressed in the best in the land. All the best and the first fruit of the produce of the land goes into those cities, because the people are required by law to bring their tithes and the first fruits and the blessings and their sin offering and the peace offering to those cities. Amen. For example, let's say you are a Levite, all right? And Pastor Matthews is you're an Israeli lay person. He's a Levite priest. You go to the city, you bring your lamb and you kill your lamb as a sacrifice for your family. Now the lamb's breast will be roasted and the right thigh will be roasted. Breast, the lamb, speaks of Jesus' love for us. We feed, the priest will eat the lamb. He and his family will eat the lamb's breast. It's a picture of us feeding on Jesus' love for us. And the right thigh, all right, speaks of Jesus' power. We feed on his love, we feed on his power, and we become strong. All right, Jesus, the Lamb of God that was roasted by God's judgment on our behalf at the cross. Because he bore our sins, God's judgment fell upon him instead of us. Because, you know why? It is like a sensor, a heat sensor missile. You know, if there's a heat down there, all right, the sensor will follow the heat. All right, Jesus took the heat for us. He had no sin. We sin, but he took the heat for us. And the missile of God's judgment fell on him. And we are free. He is our refuge. Many a times, those who enjoy the abundance, what the priests eat, they eat, and the priests eat the best. So these refugees in the city, They might not be priests, but you know what? Because they are in the priest cities, they are surrounded by abundance, they are surrounded by the best, and not just that, they listen to Bible teaching every day. Amen. That's the reason why many of them, when they are asked later on, when the high priest dies, they are told to leave the cities, and by now, the avenger of blood cannot kill them anymore. They have served their term, so to speak. When they leave their cities, they don't want to leave. Why? Because their land behind there is not as rich as the city. It's like some people come from very poor countries and they come to a country like US or Singapore, whatever. They love staying here. They don't want to go back. You understand, folks? So in a way, the one who sinned, the one who's a refugee, he's more blessed in the city than when he was outside. It's a picture of where sin abounds, grace of God much more abounds. He actually becomes a gainer. Isn't it beautiful? Every time you come to Jesus, you gain. Amen? Now, folks, listen. Jesus did a favor for us when he died on the cross. You know what he did? You know what he said? Before he became sin, because he addressed God as Father, before he became sin, one of his last requests was this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, when he says they know not what they do, he categorized us under what? Murderer or slayer. Put us under what? Unintentional killing. So that we qualify for the refuge. Hallelujah. That's why he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not. How many know that the Father heard his prayer? Yeah. Amen? Now, folks, how many of you realize that our sins was the reason Jesus died? Now, many of us, we don't want to kill Jesus, of course, but our sins are the reason Jesus died. If Jesus didn't die for our sins, we'll not be saved. There is no other way. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus died in our place so that we can be forgiven. So technically speaking, our sins was involved in the death of Jesus. But it's not something we intentionally do. You know what I'm saying, folks? And the Lord found an excuse for us. Amen? Isn't the Lord good? He delights in mercy. Amen? So now we qualify for refuge. Now, the only way someone back then cannot qualify for the city of refuge is when, with premeditated hatred, they murder someone. Now, if you do that, it's called willful sin, which means there is no city of refuge. Now, this is a picture of today. When you know that your sins is the reason Jesus died, and you are a sinner, instead of coming and receiving Jesus as your Savior, you turn your back and say, who needs Jesus? Now, you're no more under innocent sin or unintentional sin. You are now willful sin. It's a murderer. And for willful sin, the Bible says there is no refuge. This is what it's meant in Hebrews 10. If we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Some people think that that passage refers to Christians who sin, who fall into bad temper. Oh no, sin willfully. I've lost my salvation. It's not referring to that. It is referring to people who are not safe, knowing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the Savior who gave his life in love for us that we might be forgiven and be saved eternally, still slap God's hand and say, I don't need your love. Turn their back on God. This is sinning willfully. And for this sin, there is no sacrifice left because he is the final sacrifice. Where will you turn to? Amen? But thanks be to God, we are all qualified for the city of refuge, because he prayed for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't the Lord good? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's my God. All right, let's look at the cities, shall we? Hey, by the way, you know, it says that they stay in the city of refuge until what? Who dies? The high priest dies. Now, the thing is this. Some people say, well, it shows that you cannot be in God's refuge all the time, because when the high priest dies, you must leave. I beg to differ. Our high priest at God's right hand today can never die. Because he's really dead and he rose again after the power of an endless life. And because he never dies, we are forever in refuge. We are forever saved. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the names of the city. Are you ready? All right. In order of his appearance, verse 7. So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee. The first name is Kadesh in your Bible. In the mountains of Naphtali. The second one is Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim. The third city is Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron. Kiriath Arba is old name for Hebron. But because the Bible mentions both, we'll put both. Okay, put it down. The first name is Kadesh, then we have Shechem, then we have Kiriath Arba, Hebron, and then Bezer is the fourth name, verse 8. And then we have Ramoth in Gilead, the fifth name, and we have the final one, Golan. Now, have I followed the order of the Bible? Yes. All the six cities that appears here is in order of your Bible. All right? Now, let's look at the meaning of the names. Are you ready? Kadesh means holy. It means holy. How many know Jesus is holy? Do you know, folks, that even his enemies declared him as holy? The one who betrayed him, Judas, threw the money on the ground and said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Calls his blood innocent. The demon-possessed person, evil spirits, when evil spirits encounter Jesus, they will shout, I know you who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Evil spirits declare him as holy. Amen. Pontius Pilate, that coward, knew Jesus was innocent. And he brought Jesus before the people and says, why do you want to crucify him? What evil has he done? I find no fault in the man. I mean, this guy who don't have any God but Caesar, he sees no fault in Jesus. Amen. The thief at the cross rebuked the other thief. Because the other thief was rebuking Jesus and said, why don't you save us? Come down from the cross and save all of us. And the other thief says, how can you say this kind of thing? You're under judgment and we receive the just reward for our sins. But this man has done nothing amiss. Amen. When finally Jesus died at the cross, the centurion, the Roman captain or general at the foot of the cross, most likely the one responsible for the whole crucifixion, the Bible says he saw the way Jesus died. He saw the earthquakes. He saw the darkness. He saw the tempest. He saw the rocks rend. He saw the way he yelled unto God and his voice, you know, penetrated the whole land. The Bible says a loud voice, it is finished. And then he died. And the Bible says when he saw the way Jesus died, he said, certainly this is the Son of God. Even his enemies declared that. He is holy. There is no sin in him. If there's one sin in him, he cannot qualify to be our savior. Someone is sin cannot save us. He is as perfect and holy as Noah's ark has no leak. If Noah's ark has a leak, folks, we are all sunk. Jesus is holy. The next name, Shechem, means shoulder. Say shoulder. Now, shoulder is a beautiful picture of Jesus. In Luke 15, Jesus says, if a good shepherd has 100 sheep and one of his sheep goes astray, what does he do? He's not like those half past six shepherds. They'll say, "I forget that sheep. I'm not going to risk my life trying to rescue one sheep that's lost. I have 99. No, he'll find the lost sheep. He'll find the lost sheep. You know what, folks? He'll find you. And then when he finds you, what does he do? The Bible says, Jesus says he takes, the good shepherd takes the sheep on his shoulders. Shoulder, Shechem. On his shoulder. And then the Bible says he goes home rejoicing. And he calls his friends and says, rejoice with me. And throws a party. He's not ashamed that you left him or sinned against him. He's just glad that he has found you. And he rejoices. He's so proud he shows you off. Amen. And he throws a party. What brings Jesus joy? When you are found. Amen. Some people say, well, Pastor Prince, 2 years ago I found Jesus. No, actually, he found you. He's not lost. You are. Amen. No matter what, it's the Lord who finds us. A friend may have invited us to a place like this or a Billy Graham crusade, but it's Jesus who finds us, or else we can never be found. Amen, folks. The next name, Kiriath Arba. Kiriath Arba means crouching, to bend down. And Hebron means friendship. But because both names mention the Bible, so I put both names down. Crouching in friendship. Crouching. Crouching tiger. Means bend down. All right? Crouching. So you have a picture of, listen, holy shoulders of God. Holy shoulder means whose shoulder? Jesus. And it is bent down to our level in friendship. And the next name, Bezer, means a fortress or a fortified stronghold. Amen. So his holy shoulder is bent down, crouched in friendship, and the shoulder is a fortress. It's a fortified stronghold for you to run to. And then the next city, the name means Ramoth. Ramoth means to exalt in Hebrew or to lift up. And the last word means, Golan means joy. Put them together, folks. Whenever you have trouble in your life and you flee for refuge to the arms of Jesus, he will bend down his shoulder in friendship. All right? And then you climb on top of his shoulders, a place of fortress. And then he lifts you up with great joy above your troubles, above your enemies, above where the air is bad to where the air is good, where eagles fly. And then you are no more down there. You see your problems differently. You see far ahead. You see the beginning from the end. You see how small your problems are because you are high looking down on the shoulders of Jesus. Amen. It may be something like a child coming to a father. Let's take a look at this. This is a family video, by the way. So that my baby there, Jessica, represents you and I. Now, we may not have the same intelligence as the Lord. Definitely we don't. We are weak, he is strong. All we got to do is to come to him. And he lifts us up with great joy. And then we can make faces at our enemies. Amen. Because who can touch you when the Lord is your defense? On the other hand, if the Lord is not your defense, who can save you? But if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, there's a beautiful verse I want you to read. Look at Psalms. We are winding down. Look at Psalms 46. Psalms 46. Hallelujah. Let's run to Jesus for refuge. Whatever troubles we are faced with, let's run to Jesus. Psalms 46. It's a beautiful psalm. Let's all read together. Psalms 46. Are you ready? Verse 1. 1, 2, read. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now make it personal. Say my. God is my present help. Excuse me. My refuge and fortress. A very present help in time of trouble. God is my refuge, my strength, my fortress. A very present help. Folks, he's a very present help. Right now, he's a very present help. You know, years ago, I used to attend a church that does not believe that God does miracles today. You know, and what they'll do is this. It's amazing. They'll preach about how God did miracles in the Old Testament, how God opened the Red Sea, how God delivered Goliath into the hands of a young shepherd boy called David, how God called fire down from heaven on the Mount of Carmel. And they'll talk about how God did miracles in the past. And then I'll hear them talking about how God did miracles in the will do miracles in the future. When in the great millennium, when Jesus comes back, there'll be no more death, no more disease, no more suffering, and there'll be joy forever, no more death. Right? But you know what, folks? I live here in the present. I need a savior for the now, not in the sweet by and by. I don't want to talk about a God who did miracles in the past. I want to see God open my Red Sea. I want to see God kill my Goliaths, my enemies. Whether it's disease, depression, whatever they are, I want this Goliath dead. I want God for a present help. How many know he's a very present help? The Bible says God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's learn to run to Jesus. He is our present help. Remember at the gate, the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus was on the scene. And Mary says, if only you had been here, pushing him to the past. He's down there now. If only you had been here, pushing him to the past. And then Martha, the sister, says, I know, Lord, my brother will rise again in the last day. Push him to the future. And then Jesus looked at both of them and Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Present tense. And Lazarus rose from the dead. Present tense. The devil will try to push. He won't deny God is a powerful God. But he'll try to push the power of God in your mentality to the future. Or to your past. Or God did miracles in the past. But not today. There's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you listening, folks? God is a very present help in trouble. Well, Pastor Prince, God will answer those who pray correctly. Hey, folks, the Bible doesn't say that. It just says, run to him for refuge. It is not your prayers, it is him. If he is your refuge, all right? Many times in the Gospels, people will come and fall at Jesus' feet. They don't even know how to pray. But not a single one left away empty. Now, those who are sick, when they fall at Jesus' feet, they went away healed. I did not say all those in Israel were healed. I said all those who fell at his feet were healed. Not all the fishermen in Israel got business profits, except those who fell at Jesus' feet. They got a net breaking, boat sinking load of fishes. Those who asked for help for their daughter or their son that's suffering at home, only those that fell at Jesus' feet. Those who came to him as a refuge received. There were others that suffered the same thing in the land of Israel, but only those that came to him received. It was not their faith, it was him. It was not them, it is him. Apostle Prince, when we are in trouble, we must learn to pray hard. It's not pray hard, pray soft. It is who you pray. Pray hard. What is pray hard? It's not pray hard, pray soft. It's who you pray. You pray to the wrong one, your prayers won't be answered. Because he's the only one who died for your sins. And Acts 3 says there is no salvation in any other name except the name of Jesus. It's not pray hard, pray soft. You can say Jesus softly and he hears you. Amen? Amen? And you know what? Sometimes you don't even know what to say. Your heart is broken. But go to Jesus. Even you go to him and say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. And just cry in his presence. Something happens to your problem. Something will happen to your heart. Cry in his presence if you need to. Jesus, she does not love me. She loves somebody else. Cry. Because in a few years' time, you will cry again in his presence with joy. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, I didn't marry her. Some of you laugh, but you experience it. You know what, folks? It is not how wonderful, how long you pray, how short you pray. It is not your words, folks. It's not your much speaking, Jesus said, like the Pharisees. It is him. It is him that makes the difference. I don't know how many people have written to me saying, Pastor Prince, I'm in a legal case where actually I've done wrong. I'm supposed to be sued for bankruptcy. But Pastor, the last minute, that guy let me go. Involve hundreds of thousands of dollars. I have documented cases, more than one case in the church, because they have learned to run to Jesus. Pastor Prince, they deserve because they've done something wrong. You see, Jesus is not for people who do right. It's for people who do wrong. Let me explain this. It is those who are sick that needs a doctor. Jesus is a doctor not for those who act like their own doctors. If you are your own doctor, why do you need a doctor, Jesus? But if you are sick, he becomes valuable. And once you need him, he wants you. You understand, folks? Even when you are guilty, even when you're guilty of something, that's why you say, Jesus, I am guilty. But don't say, Jesus, I'm not guilty. I don't know why that guy, Jesus, I'm not guilty, you know. Now that is called self-righteousness. If you are self-righteous, you are establishing your own righteousness. He cannot become your righteousness. Because you are establishing your own righteousness. The way out of this legal suit is like this. Jesus, I am guilty. I made stupid mistakes. That's why I come to you, Lord, as my refuge. I run to you. Jesus, you are my righteousness. Take him as your righteousness. You are my lawyer. Amen. And this is how I've taught some of the people in the church to pray. And I've seen miracles, folks. Like people, Jesus, I'm weak, but I take you as my strength. Jesus, I do not know how, but I take you as my wisdom. Jesus, I'm guilty, but I take you as my advocate. The Bible says he's our advocate. That's when you see his power. You understand, folks? Now, once he does things like this for you, you don't want to remain in sin because you enjoy doing good. You understand, folks? His love, his goodness will change you. Amen? People run to all the wrong places for refuge. Some people run to Ready Credit to deliver them. Ready Credit is my refuge, my city of refuge. Some run to experts. Some run to armor flesh. But the Bible says if you run to Jesus, he is a very present help. In what time? In time of trouble. You know, how many of you know friends who are great help when things are smooth? But in time of trouble, you don't see them around. God is the opposite. God is a very present help in trouble. Amen. If he's a very present help in trouble, trouble is no more trouble. Because he's a very present help. Hallelujah. Don't ask how. That is his business. Just go to him. Say, Lord, I got a big, big problem. Alongs are after me. My modern day pharaohs. In front of me is the Red Sea of Depp. Behind me are the Alongs. Jesus, I flee to you as my refuge. Amen. And I take you, Lord, as my deliverance. I take you, Lord, as my defense. I take you as my favor. I take you, Lord, as my miracle. And see him open the Red Sea. God will make a way. Amen. I don't know how. Sometimes, you know, he changes the problem. Sometimes he changes us. Because we are the problem. Sometimes tell God, move the mountain, God. Move the mountain. God doesn't move the mountain because we are the mountain. God loves you. I said, God loves you. Let me end with a final verse. This is the final verse. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 33, chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. How many are glad God is a very present help? Very present. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is my refuge and strength. Deuteronomy 33. We'll end with this. Deuteronomy 33 is a very beautiful picture of the 12 tribes being blessed by Moses. Or you can say being blessed under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look at the last tribe. The final tribe. Or rather the youngest of all the tribes. The youngest of the 12 sons of Jacob was Benjamin. And Benjamin, because he's the youngest, he pictures the end time generation of Christians. Amen. Look at the blessing of Benjamin, which you and I can receive because we all are heirs of all their blessings. Look at the blessing. Verse 12. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. Who is the beloved of the Lord? Look into the mirror. Who is the beloved of the Lord? You are the beloved. You are the reason he came to earth. He's happy with the Father. He had no problems. We are the reason he came. We are the reason he died. We are the reason he rose again. We are the reason today he is the high priest. Heaven today is no more the same heaven as Genesis 1 when God made the heavens and the earth. Heaven today has an exalted man at the Father's right hand. He is fully God, but he is also fully man. Kakinan. He's our high priest. Heaven is filled with the glories of an exalted man. Something that heaven never had before. And God is well pleased with that man. And that man there is representative of all of us. His standing is our standing, set to our account. Amen. Because he died for our sins. And he rose again to justify us. To make sure that every drop of his blood avails. So the Bible says we are the beloved of the Lord. We shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shelters him all day long. What does the Lord do for you? He shelters you all day long. You and I, we shall dwell between his shoulders. Just like my daughter just now, dwelling between my shoulders. And the Lord carries you between his shoulders. He walks around and shows you off. As you can see the father just now, you know. The pride of a father. And he shows you off. And you are safe. Don't misunderstand. You are still weak, but he is strong. But he lifts you above your problems. Because his holy shoulder will always come down to your level as a fortress to lift you up with joy above your troubles. Amen. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of need. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my father, my friend indeed. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of need. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my father, my friend indeed. And he loves you. every head bowed, and every eye closed. If you are here this evening and you say, Pastor Prince, I'm not saved. If my heart should stop beating right now, I'm not sure where I'll be. But I know now, Pastor, there is God who directed me here today. I know the Good Shepherd brought me here today because he loves me. Listen, my friend, God loves you so much, the Bible says. God so loved the world, that is you, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever includes you, includes me, includes whosoever. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes, the moment you believe, what's going to happen? Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You will have life for all eternity. The blood of Jesus will wash you clean from every sin, and Jesus becomes your refuge, your savior, your fortress, your hiding place from all the trials of storms of life. You don't have to face the troubles alone, whether it's marital trouble, physical trouble, mental trouble, financial or relationships. He wants to be your refuge. He wants to carry your burdens, and not just carry your burdens, he wants to carry you. And he will carry you through. He loves you. So all across this place right now, if you say, Pastor Prince, I don't want to leave this place with my sins unforgiven, with the burden of guilt on my shoulders when Jesus Christ died for me and gave his life that I might be free, gave his life that I might be safe, shed his blood that I might be clean, and present me faultless in the eyes of a holy God through his sacrifice. Pastor, I want Jesus. I don't want to delay. I don't want the devil, the avenger of blood, to destroy me. I want to flee to my refuge, Jesus Christ, who died to save me. If that is you, wherever you are right now, every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place, put up one hand real high and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Put up your hands real high. Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. God bless you. Way down there, way back there. God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for that one. Anyone else? I want Jesus, Pastor, as my Savior, as my Lord. Another hand. God bless you richly. Yes, over here, God bless you richly. I see that hand, God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to leave here the same way I came. Another hand, God bless you. Hands are going all across the place. I tell you what, I'm going to invite you to do one more thing, and Jesus Christ will come into your life as your Savior, as your refuge. Wherever you are right now, if you want Jesus, I want all of you who want Jesus, all those who have raised your hands and all those who want Jesus who didn't raise your hands, I want all of you to stand up. All of you come together to the front. I want to pray with you. Will you please do that right now, all across this place? That's right. Give them a good hand as they come. Step up from where you are and come to the front. If you want Jesus, make your way to the front right now. All those who want Jesus, come on, church, let's rejoice. Amen. The Lord has found you. He loves you. Come to Jesus. Flee to Jesus. Come to him as your refuge. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. He loves you. You're never meant to face life alone. He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to carry your troubles. He wants to be your peace. He wants to be your refuge. Come stand over here, sir. Praise the Lord. Anybody else, those watching via video outside, if you need Jesus, make your way in quickly. Give her a good hand as you come. Praise the Lord. Come on, we rejoice. Everybody who wants Jesus, we rejoice. Amen. Folks, let me say this to you. These people are being lifted up high on the Lord's shoulders. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Jesus says, anyone that comes to him, he will not reject you. Hallelujah. There comes another one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. Money cannot buy this. Jesus' blood has bought us this. Okay, all those standing in front, lift up your hands like this. Close your eyes. I'm going to help you pray and talk to the Lord. Now, when you speak these words, mean it from your heart because the Lord is listening. Now say this, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great love for me. I know I didn't come here by chance. Your love brought me here. I thank you for giving me Jesus as my Savior. He died on the cross for all my sins. He took my curse. He took my punishment. And His precious blood washes me clean from every sin. Jesus Christ is my Savior, is my Lord, is my God, now and forever. And I believe He rose from the dead and conquered death, conquered the grave for me. Father in heaven, I am now your child. You are my Father. And because of Jesus, you see me perfect, holy, blameless in your eyes. I thank you for your love, your peace, your joy. My sins are all forgiven. In your eyes, Father, I am completely accepted, totally justified, greatly blessed, highly favored, forever loved. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless every one of you. Welcome to God's family. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, brother. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Now listen, God cannot lie. God says if you come to Him, you become now His son, His daughter. You are now children of God. God is no more far away. He's now your Father. You are no more a sinner. You are now His child. Because it's a father-child relationship, God is supply-oriented. And He will help you, whether it's financial trouble, whether it's marital trouble, God will be a very present help. Get ready for good things to happen in your life, okay? All right? How many are glad you are saved? Praise the Lord. Turn this way and follow this leader. He's going to bring you outside and just get to know you better. Go ahead. God bless every one of you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.